Somebody asked me this morning, are you going to preach on mothers today? Well, the first part of the lesson is basically talking about motherhood. The second part of the lesson is something that is going to benefit us as mothers, fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers, brothers, sisters, aunts, and uncles. Everyone that has a part in rearing the life of a child. And you don't have to be a parent to rear the life of a child, to help mold that child into what they need to be. It is something that we try to do here as a church, here at Dawson Road, with our classes and with our children here. We're all an influence for one another. So we're going to talk about that influence and the best way that we can put the best foot forward in taking care of the children, that even though we're not the parents, may be in one way or the other under our care. But today, to begin with, let's talk about motherhood. You know, mothers are indeed a gift from God, just as the screen says. Motherhood is a God-given role. Boy, that didn't work out up there, did it? In Psalm 127 and verse 3, the psalmist tells us, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward." Motherhood is indeed an honorable role. It is a vital role for the home to succeed and to thrive and to be successful. One of the saddest things today in life is that so many children are not brought up in a home environment where you have the mother and the father and the children as one unit. You know, in America particularly, it's almost becoming a thing of the past because we have homes with only one parent. We have homes now with no parents, really, in situations. So this family unit that God designed from the very beginning is slipping away from our fingers. And it's becoming a deleted part of our life. You know, motherhood, for example, is not an inherited thing. It is something that must be learned. You know, Paul admonishes the young women in Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. And they're being admonished by the older women who have already done these things and understand these things. And so they tell the younger women, love your husbands and love your children. Now, I want to tell you something that we probably all know. Love is something that just doesn't automatically happen. It is a learned thing. It is a thing that is developed. It is a thing that grows. If you're sitting right now next to your spouse, you think back to the day when you first met your spouse. Love wasn't automatic at the first sight. It had to go through a process of growing, a process of learning this individual, understanding this individual, learning to appreciate this individual. And it didn't just happen with a snap of a finger. A lot of people will tell you it does. They're mistaken. They're fooled by their own thinking. Love is something that grows. It does not just hit you there and is there. Same thing with motherhood. Motherhood is not inherited. Now, the fact that when you have a child, you instantly become a mother. Yeah, that is true. But who in this room knew how to be a mother when you first became a mother? Do you know what my children's mother did at the very first birth of our daughter? When we walked out of that hospital, we did not go back to Rogersville, Alabama, where our home was. We went to her mother's home and her daddy's home. Because there were a lot of things about having an infant that me and Pat didn't understand. But Mama did. And Daddy did to a certain extent. And my parents would come in over there almost every day and they would help us understand as well. It was something that we had to learn because we didn't know what to do. Oh, we had seen it done. We had watched other people have children, and we had seen people and parents on TV with their children. But listen, you can't pay attention to stuff like that. Until you go through it, you don't know. So we had to have help. It was something we didn't just know instantly. It was something we had to learn. And I have to tell you, when I first laid eyes on Mandy and on Philip, love was instant. I'll tell you that. But I don't love them near as much then as I do now. Because as they have developed, my love for them has increased and developed as well. It is a growing thing. Love is always a growing thing. And we have to learn how to love. You know, the fact that the world is filled with child abuse tells us that motherhood is a learned thing. It's not something that is just inbred. We have to learn how to develop that love. It helps us to how to deal with our children in a better way. We have to learn to remove selfishness. Now, you know, I had to do that when I got married because I was an only child. My sister passed when I was 4 years old, so I had no record or memory of having a sibling. So I was raised as an only child. I got all the toys. I had all the benefits. I got all the attention. Well, when I got married, things had to change. I had to learn not to be selfish. I had to learn how to meet the responsibilities that has now been thrust upon me. Mothers have to learn responsibilities when they become a mother. Because, friends, it doesn't just happen. You know, Bible mothers teach us some great lessons about motherhood today. And I want us to take a look at maybe a few of these examples to kind of get an idea of just what exactly mothers give their children in their lives. First of all, there are so many blessings that mothers give to their children. For example, Jochebed is one of the few mothers that we have by name in the Bible. We don't have many mothers' names in the Bible. Well, we do have Jochebed, who was the mother of Moses. And I want you to know that she gave her son Moses a tremendous blessing. It was the blessing of life and the blessing of safety. We read this story in Exodus chapter 2, the first 10 verses. We all know that story well. We learned it from a child, and it's a wonderful story about the life of Moses and how he was spared from the death by Pharaoh, who had ordered all infant male children to be destroyed. She did what was necessary to save her child. And you know, that's what good mothers do. They give life to their child. You know, again, it's unfortunate to know that some mothers do not give life to their child. I'm not talking about the birth experience. I'm talking about keeping them and sustaining them. Some mothers don't do that. In fact, some mothers choose to give away their children, first of all, through abortion. According to statistics that came out on April the 15th of this year, get this number now, 1,038,100 children were put to death through abortion in the United States alone from the states that do not have an abortion ban. 1,038,100 deaths to children. That's 2,844 abortions a day. Now, this doesn't include the number of what they call backstreet abortions, the illegal abortions that every state has. We don't really know how many people die through this backstreet abortion process. We have no way of coming up with that number. But there is one number that we do know. Last year alone, 31,000 women lost their lives going through backstreet abortions. Sometimes mothers don't give their children life. They give them death. Good mothers protect life. Jochebed is an example of this. When she could no longer hide Moses from Pharaoh in her home, she hid him in the reeds of the riverbank of the Nile to protect him from, of all people, Pharaoh. And he wound up going to Pharaoh's house because it was Pharaoh's daughter that found him in the water. Because she trusted God that he would provide for Moses this protection, and he did. Mothers do that, don't they? They see to it that their children are protected. Not only that, mothers sustain life as well. You know, Jochebed arranged to become Moses' nursemaid. Isn't that a wonderful coincidence that that could happen? Mothers give life, they protect life, they sustain life. And it usually works out. In fact, in Moses' case it did, because Hebrews 11 tells us that when he was grown, he remembered the spiritual heritage of his mother and refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer with the people who was his people because of his mother. No doubt, the teaching of a mother, the life, the safety given because of a mother. Next, we have the example of Hannah. Hannah was the mother of Samuel. And Hannah gave the blessing to Samuel of a devotion to God. Tell me something. Those of us in here who are parents, and most of us are, what did you pray for when you first found out that you were about to have a child? What did you pray for? Did you pray that it be a boy? Did you pray that it be a girl? No. You prayed that I will have a healthy, happy child. That was probably the most important thing on your mind. Lord, let my child be healthy. You probably said, I don't care which it is. Some of you may have. I don't know. But health was probably the first thing that entered your mind. Now, tell me this. How many of you said, I hope my child is devoted to God? Did that enter anyone's mind when your child was born? I hope that my child grows to be devoted to God. Did any of you think that? We have parents today whose children are grown and out on their own, and they have yet to think that in their mind. Let me tell you what Hannah did. We read it in 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all of the days of his life. She was devoted to giving her child to God. Now, let's read on. Let's go down to verse 26. And she said, O Lord, as my soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition of which I asked him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. She wanted to fulfill her promise. Lord, you give me a child. You give me a child to love, to protect, to sustain, and I will see to it that that child is devoted to you. Did that enter your mind when your child was born? Mothers, one of the greatest things that you can offer your children is to help them be devoted to God. And you're the one that can set the example. You can set the example in faithful worship. You can set the example in godly living. You can set the example by humble service. And you can set the example in Bible teaching. And you can do all of this in the presence of your children, just like Hannah did. The third example is that of Eunice and Lois, the mother and the grandmother of Timothy. They gave to him the blessing of the teaching of God's word. Timothy had a genuine faith. And the reason he had that genuine faith is because he was taught genuine faith by his mother and his grandmother. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Now, that was such an important thing for him to say, he said it twice. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 14, he said, but you must continue in the things which you have learned. Who did he learn them from? Mother and grandmother. Continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing whom you have learned them from. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. They taught him the word of God in his youth. Mothers, you have a great opportunity to teach God's word to your children. Bible stories about God, about his son, about prayer, about love, about obedience, about Christian values, about honesty, which, by the way, is something that is leaving our society today as well. It's easy to make story time Bible time. Two of my fondest memories in my life. One of them is sitting in my mother's lap as a small child and her reading to me from that great old big brown children's Bible book story. Some of y'all seen that big brown book. It has basically every major story in the Bible in it. And I would sit there in her lap and listen as she read to me from those stories. My second favorite memory is watching my wife do the very same thing to my two children. My friends, we need to follow this simple pattern. We need to protect them like Jochebed. We need to devote them to God like Hannah. And we need to teach them like Lois and Eunice. Will you be perfect in this effort? No. Are you perfect in any effort? No. We were not perfect. Just ask our two. They're here this morning. They'll tell you how imperfect we was. But even with our imperfections, my friend, we can put God in their lives. And yes, there will be challenges. There will be challenges that will test every ounce of your spiritual strength. And they are challenges that we must face, we must meet, and we must strive to overcome. Which brings me to the second part of this lesson. we must learn how to deal with the challenges of being a parent. Now, this part, daddies, is for you too, because we have just as much to do with this. Parents must learn to deal with the challenges of parenthood. Parents must, first of all, learn to deal with the challenge of patience. Therefore, we must develop what we know as self-control. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things." My friends, when it comes to being a parent, you must learn to be calm in the midst of chaos. You must learn to have a level head in moments of crisis. You must learn to be the disciplinarian without losing your temper. And yes, I know sometimes that's hard to do. I've raised two kids. I know how hard it is sometimes to keep a level head and to keep calm when you have to deal with problems with your children. I've seen parents create a greater disturbance trying to keep their children from being a disturbance. And they wind up causing a lot more attention than the kids were. And all they're doing is adding fuel to the fire. Parents, we must learn to overcome impatience and impulsiveness. Now, I'll tell you, I grew up in a home, my daddy was impulsive. He firmly believed, act now and find out what it's all about later. And I want you to know I paid sometimes for that dearly. And I tried my dead level best not to be that way with my two. You can ask them. They'll tell you if I succeeded or not. Impulsiveness is something that is so dangerous. And it does so much damage if you can't control yourself when trying to control your children. Next, we will be challenged with the usage of our time and how to use our time wisely. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have so many things to compete for your time every day of your lives. Please learn to prioritize in such a way that you include your children with your time. Make time to be with them. Talk to them. Listen to them. Play with them. Teach them. Don't put a computer game in their hands and walk away from them. Boy, isn't that what the world loves to do today? I am so happy. And I thank my God that the days of computer games really hadn't hit when my two children were young. And if they had, they probably would not have gotten them to begin with, because they do so much damage in the lives of a child. God instructed the children of Israel of how to deal with their children when it come to him and his word. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning with verse 7, he said, "You shall teach them diligently." He's talking about his laws, his words. "You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on the gates." In other words, you see to it. Parents, it is your responsibility. It's not the preacher's responsibility. It's not the elder's responsibility. It's not the church's responsibility to teach your children about God. Now, we're going to do what we can. But it's not our responsibility. It is your responsibility to put God into the lives of your children. And here's something else we need to understand. This is a fact that has been proven from the beginning of time. If God is not top priority in your life, God will not be top priority in the lives of your children. Please, parents, make sure that God is top priority in their lives. And yeah, I know it's hard to do. Sometimes it seems like it's impossible to do. But it can be done. I'm going to tell you a couple of personal stories. When I was a child, there was a television program that came on every Sunday night at 6 o'clock. You older folks will remember it. The Wonderful World of Disney. Y'all remember that? Yeah. The Wonderful World of Disney. You know, that was back in the days when Disney was actually good. It's nothing but trash now. Well, I want you to know, I never got to watch The Wonderful World of Disney. You know why? My mama made me go to church. And I never got to watch The Wonderful World of Disney. We would get home just about the time that it was going off, and I got to see maybe the last 2 or 3 minutes of it, which was useless. Tell you something else. I never got to watch The Wizard of Oz as a child, because it would always come on at 5:30 on Sunday afternoon, you know. And the only part I ever got to see was a few minutes of the black and white part. I never got to see the color part. And when we get home, the color part is over with, and I'm back to watching the black and white part again. I never got to see it. I finally got to watch The Wizard of Oz. Pat and I were dating. I was working in Motorola, and I went out and bought my very first VCR, and I rented The Wizard of Oz in 1982? I guess it was 82. That was when I got to watch The Wizard of Oz in its entirety. Man. Don't you just hate parents like that? To take those gifts and those blessings away from you like that. They wouldn't let me stay at home from church and watch a ball game. They wouldn't let me go play ball if church was going on at that time. They wouldn't let me stay at home from church and do my homework. I mean, I had to get my homework done. When I come into the afternoons, I sit down at the kitchen table. I did my homework before I was allowed to go outside and play or watch Gilligan's Island. And there was no such thing as Sunday homework. It was done before Sunday come around. So you know what I did? I left home. I did. I put up with that treatment just as long as I could stand it. And I left home. On September the 21st, 1984, at the age of 26 years old, I'd had enough. Because I lived with my mama and daddy until the time Pat and I got married. And I want you to know, they still fed me. They put a roof over my head. And they fed me. And they were still responsible for me. And I still had to answer to them. And I walked away from that on September the 21st. And I married me a young lady. And do you know what? Her mama and daddy had done her the very same way. I don't know if she was tired of it or not. She married me anyway. And do you know what we did? About 3 years later, we had our own children, and we did the very same thing to them. And you know what? It worked out. In fact, it worked out for all of us. Yeah, we mistreated them the very same way that we were mistreated. But as a result, all four of us, my wife, myself, my two children, we graduated high school with honors, all four of us in the top 10 of our class. Three of the four of us went on to college with scholarships and done well. Now, we made Philip miss ball games because it interfered with church. We made them put church before school activities. We made them put school before fun and social life. And all I can say is thank you, Mama and Daddy. And thank you, Bobby and Ovita Kimbrough, for making Pat and I do it the right way. And to Mandy and Philip, all I can say is this. If we mistreated you and made you turn out the way you turned out, praise God for it. Because they have both done well in their lives, and they are both sitting here today washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I make no apology for that. Listen, parents, if you don't make God top priority in the lives of your children, there's a great chance that God will never be top priority in their lives. You've got to be the one to do it. Parenting can be hard. Being a mother can be hard. It can be demanding. We have one other example. I will very quickly bring this out to you. In the book of Judges, chapter 13, a man with the name of Manoah. Do y'all ever heard of Manoah? Y'all know who he was? He was Samson's daddy. When they found out that Samson was on the way, Manoah, his father, prayed to God, and he said, "Oh my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. God, help me teach my child. God, let me do the things that will allow my child to grow up as a child of God." And I want to tell you, my friends, today, you and I must make that same prayer. The challenge for Mother's Day and parents in general is to keep that faith in God. Look to God for your strength. Look to God for your guidance. Look to God for your comfort in life. And share that faith with your children. As I said earlier, the greatest thing that you can do for your child is to put him into a godly home. Now, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't always work out. There are exceptions to every rule. But generally speaking, a child that is shown the importance of God will retain that. And God will be a part of his or her life. Allow your child to witness that godly marriage. Allow your child to benefit from you being a godly parent. So when that time comes, the child will want to be a part of God and to have God as a part of him. This morning, my friends, if you are in the audience today and you are not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel. Not simply because you're a parent. You may be a parent, you may not. If you're not a Christian, it's the most important thing you can do for yourself and for your family. And if you are a Christian, but if you are not a faithful Christian, you need to rededicate yourself today. And if you are a parent and not living a godly life, look what you're doing not only to yourself, but look what you're doing to your child. Have you ever stopped to think that the child that you bring into the world will one day grow up to an adult and he will become responsible to God for his life? And if that child loses his soul in hell because you didn't teach him to begin with how to be a Christian, how is that going to make you feel? Put God first in your own life and in the lives of your children. If you're here today and need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing this song.